Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Charles Thomas with Impact Now Radio. And I just want to, I hope everyone is having a good day today, whether at work or at home, enjoying a nice, relaxing day. But wherever you might be, I just pray that you're having a good day and you know, and your mind is focused on the Lord. So, man, a lot going on in the world. So many things popping up, so many different discussions and stuff to try to lead the people of God astray into back into this worldly mindset, this worldly setting, and with the presidential election and all this stuff. And I just want to say with that as we get started, people, look, pray for those that's in authority. You know, pray whoever's in place. You know, right now is Obama, but whoever it might be, you know, to replace him. If there's anybody that's going to replace him, we just don't know what's going to happen over, you know, the next couple months. So, with that being said, our only duty is to pray for those in authority. Let's pray for the salvation of these people who are in place, because we know that really we don't elect these government officials as is being portrayed. They have been selected already. The whole presidential race thing is just not but another thing to keep people's minds captivated, brainwashed, distracted from the from committing a warfare against the enemy so that the Lord Jesus Christ can come back. So with that, we're going to go ahead and open up a prayer, then we're going to go ahead and get into the word for the day. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for this time of being able to come together to look into your word, Lord God, to get understanding, to get edification, to get exhortation, to get corrected, rebuked. Lord God, whatever it is that we might need at this moment, Lord God, your word would truly provide that according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So, Lord, we could depend on your word, Lord God, to even search our own hearts, Lord God. And, Father, all we have to do is, Lord, I ask you, let your word search me out. And, Lord God, whatever you find is not pleasing in your sight, Lord God, let us give it over to you. Let's repent of it. Let's turn away from it, Lord God, and begin to line up with the dictates of your word. And, Lord God, I ask you in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would give us ears to hear, that we might hear what the Spirit is saying today through your word, Lord God. And, Father, I ask you to help us to line up, help us to go forward, Lord God. And, Father, I pray if there's any form of fear in our hearts for what's coming down the pipe with the things that is happening in the world, Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus, oh God, that we will fear not, because you have already overcome the world. And Father, we thank you, we love you, Lord God, and Lord, help us to continue to strive to do that which is pleasing in your sight. And we just say thank you in Jesus' name, amen. All right, as we deal with this topic, and it's teaching to really let this thing really build up, for one, to really see, you know, what is going on, but also to really see the from one aspect, the tactics of the enemy and what he is doing. And from the other aspect, how we could really use this as a measuring stick, you know, to really see where we at, where we need to come up at. And say, and be honest with ourselves. You know what, Lord, I'm not as faithful as I need to be, God. I'm not as dedicated as I should be. And you know what, Lord, I thank you for this time of testing. I thank you for this time of temptation, even though you don't tempt us, as your word says in James chapter 1. But, Lord, I thank you for allowing, you know, the tempter to come so that I can see where my heart is at, so that I might get it right before you. And that's the mindset we need to go in. And when any time we go through a trial, a situation, you know, those of us that are married, you know, when you might be going through rough times in your marriage and you know, the enemy would come what seems to be better or what seems to be the right thing, you know, because, you know, he would bring something or someone, you know, by, you know, get connected to who we might, you know, talk to. I mean, not talk to on a personal level in a sense of, you know, what's going on in your relationship, but just talking about things and you begin to see, man, you like the same things and, you know, stuff like that. And the mind and the enemy start playing thoughts, man, you know, it seems like we got more in common than the person I'm married to. But you know what? That's all the plot and the plan of the enemy, because the one thing for sure, people, the one thing we got to get away from, God just does not put us with someone who we are compatible with or we got things in common. He put us together with people who will help us progress in our walk with him. He will put us with somebody who will rub us like sandpaper to help us become a better person, you know, to help us to become more dedicated. But all at the same time, they are the right person and the right mixture of personality that will help, that when it's mixed with your personality, y'all become a dynamic duo to really get the work of God done. You know, because sometimes you could be with somebody that's too like you or you have too much in common with and nothing gets done. You know, and neither one of you would challenge each other because you're too much alike. So sometimes the saying is true, opposites do attract. So, hey, you know, the sun and moon works well together, and they're both opposite. One works during the night, one works during the day, but they flow together. You know, so, hey, we're going to look at this. Our new topic is you are not faithful until there's another option available. Once again, you are not faithful until there's another option available. And if the Lord's will, we're going to stay on this topic for, you know, the next couple, you know, shows, dialogues, until we really dig deep and really find ourselves and see how the enemy is working. And real quickly, the call-in number for anyone that has any questions, comments, concerns, opposing view, or whatever you know you want to add on. Hey, the only thing I say is I don't mind opposing views. Only thing I ask you to come with is that if you want to come, you know, if you want to come to opposing views, just come with chapter, book, and verse, and come respectfully. And hey, you know, we have good dialogue. You know, it's, you know, I'm all for, you know, dialogue. You don't have to agree with nothing I say, everything I say. Some things I say, you know, all I'm saying is let's come to the agreement that if what's being said is scripture, and if this is the word of God, then we want to let the word of God govern the word of God. So with that being said, the call-in number is 347-426-3065. Once again, 347-426-3065. And you can also reach me by email, ccthomas178@gmail.com. Once again, ccthomas178@gmail.com. All right, we're going to go ahead and go on for the scripture today. The first scripture we're going to start with is Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Then we want to go over to Matthew chapter 4. Once again, Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Then Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse 1. All right, Genesis chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye should not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doeth know that in the day you eat thereof, Then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. All right, we're going to read Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Then we're going to go back and start looking at taking a systematic look, line up verse upon verse, line up a line in Genesis chapter 3. And today we just want to, you know, just be laying a foundation, just making some points, you know, so as we go forward, we know, you know, basically how we want to progress and look at how the enemy works between these two different happenstances, these two different dialogues and encounters in the scriptures, and see how the enemy is working. All right, Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse 1, it reads, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a hunger. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil take him up to an exceedingly high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things would I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said, Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels come and minister unto him. Now when Jesus had, okay, that's it, verse 11 is where we want to leave off at. Okay, so as we go back to the book of Genesis chapter 3, okay, we see the encounter. At the end of Genesis chapter 2, we see God give Adam the command to that, you know, he can eat of any tree in the garden that he want, except for the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil. And so then we see in chapter 3, we see the enemy comes, but he doesn't approach Adam. He goes and approach Eve. And he comes and says, well, then truly have God said that you shall not eat of any tree that's in the garden? And so the first thing he started to do was he was probing Eve to see if she understood the command that was given. And what he did was he didn't point directly at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He basically says, truly have God said, you should not eat of any tree in the garden. So what basically he's saying is that God says that you can't eat from none of these trees in the garden. What he was doing here was, one, to see if she understood the command, and two, if there was something there, was she going to pick out the tree that he actually was talking about? Because even though he said that God, God said you cannot eat up any of the trees in the garden, in mind, he had the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you know, at mind. So she comes back and said, well, no, he said that, you know, we can eat of the trees that's of the garden. It's just except for the tree that's in the midst of the garden. You know, he said we cannot eat of it. Now, Now, right there, she started out good. She started out good. The tree that's in the midst of the garden, he said we can't eat of it. You know, the tree that's in the midst of the garden. You know, so she's doing good. She's doing well. But then where she went wrong yet is that where she went wrong is that she said that we can't touch it. God never said that. And right there, that's when the enemy got that look in his eyes for the kill. All right. She, you know, she has some slight understanding, but I see that, you know, she's adding on her own. She's adding on her own, you know, doctrine. She's adding on her own command. She's adding on her own stipulations because God never said they couldn't touch it. He just said they cannot eat from it. And so right then, you know, now for whatever reason she might have said it, you know, she might have said, okay, well, you know, we can't eat of it, so really if we can't eat of it, there's no point of touching it. You know, it's just really no point of, you know, touching it, messing with it. You know, now that could be commendable, you know, that could be, but at the same time, that's not what God said. God just said you should not eat of it. And so the enemy's plan, now he knew he could start working his diabolical plan of deception and also dealing with the fact, even though she might have added on, but will she stand her ground and stand faithful to not partaking of it? Or will she, or is there something in her that desires to you know, to partake of this tree? Is there something in her that I could, you know, mess around with? Is there something in her that quite possibly we might have a connection with? You know, that me and her might got some type of connection. We got the same mindset, or some of us that like to get spiritual with it, you know, that we could be on one accord with. And so he started to probe it. You know, it says, but then he also understood, I can't come at Adam with this because I know he knows the command. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to his helper or to his help me to the bone of his bone. And then if I can infiltrate her in which he has covenant with, then I can then use her to get her to get him to disobey the command. You see how the enemy works? You see how when sometimes the attack against you, or sometimes how he might use your kids, a lot of times it really has nothing to do with your kids. A lot of times the foolishness that our children, that our coworkers, that our family members come with, you know, they call up. And then they call up, you know, it seems like it's going to be an all right conversation. Then all of a sudden, you know, they start bringing up their foolishness. They bring up the argument, at the Christmas dinner or the Thanksgiving dinner. Or, you know, they bring up their foolishness, you know, just to start something. You see how he gets, because the enemy knows that if I try to come at this person with this or self, they're not going to hear. But, however, if I could come through something that they care about, if I could come through something that seems innocent, if I could come through something that they might be emotionally attached to, then, hey, you know, I might be able to work this thing out. And this is what he did. This is his plan, because he knew that he couldn't get to Adam himself. So I'm going to come through a secondary source. I'm going to come through something that's closest to his heart. I'm going to come through something that he's attracted to. I'm going to come through something that got his attention. And that is the same way how sometimes the enemy might send a man or a woman your way, you know, that looks good, that smells good, and you know, they're shaped nicely. But a lot of the times, it's not even really about getting you to fall or to stumble into fornication or anything of that sort. Now, if that happens, then, hey, you know,
he'll take that as well, because that is something else that he can go before God to accuse you of. But some of the times it could be that if you are a, let's say, a former, you know, a recovering drug addict, it, you know, you've been clean for a couple years, you know, you're pressing on, you know, you're going hard in the Lord and things of that sort, you know, you're getting around the saints of God. And so now what he wants to do is he wants to get you back tied up in those drugs again. So what he's what he does is that male or female is more so a catalyst to get you back to the drugs, because some of the times what they might not tell you is that they are still in a drug recovery unit. They might still be in a rehab, or they might be dealing, you know, with drugs, or they might have, you know, alcohol issues, you know, they like to drink, things of that sort. And so what happens is that, but the enemy knows, if I can get you joined to that person, if I can get you to connect to that person, if I can get you to spend a lot of time with that person, then I can get them to reinfiltrate your spirit with this, with that bondage that you got set free from. This is why 1 Corinthians, please write this down. This is something else I would like to share. I want to start with. Anytime you listen on any program, and if you go to any of the archives, dating back, this is one thing I like to share. Please write down any scriptures that I give. Write down any scriptures, any quotations, please. Have your Bible, a piece of paper, a pen, a marker, a crayon, a piece of chalk, something to write down the scriptures with, and go back and search it for yourself, people. Even though I might be here teaching, and, you know, and those, look, do not take nothing no one says for granted. You know, you go and search the scriptures for yourself and begin to ask the Holy Spirit, is what this person is saying is true? You know, is where they might be at their own understanding that's off or twisting the scriptures? And the Holy Spirit will show you when you're sincere. When you're sincere, not to, you know, try to argue and damn somebody, but when you're sincere and you really have a desire to learn of the scriptures, anytime you go to any environment where the Bible is being taught, have your piece of paper, your pen, pencil, ink, crayon, mascara, pencil, marker, and write down those scriptures. Hey, if you don't have one, take your cell phone and put it on a recording and record the scriptures. And when you get a chance to write them down, write them down. Because, people, this is your soul that's in a balance. This is your soul that you only get one. There's no spare soul like you have a spare tire with your car. If you don't get it right here, when you cross over, you don't get no second chance. So I just wanted to take that moment to just say that. So with that, he would have had that person. So the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, "Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good men." Once again, evil communication corrupts good men. This is what we're saying is that you as a child of God, you as someone that has some type of moral barometer, when you connect and hang around people that walks in filth and decadence and you know, and all types of mess or that are not saved, the scripture says, be not deceived. Evil communication or evil fellowship, evil communing. Because what you have to understand, people, when you have a conversation or dialogue with someone, y'all are actually engaging in verbal intercourse, because words are spirits. Words are seed. And so what happens is, as you're speaking to someone, and as you share with someone, you are speaking seeds of words into someone's spirit, like how when a man and a woman, a husband and wife, are together in intimacy, and he releases or he ejaculates his seed into his wife's womb, plants his seed in her, and hopes that she would implant and fertilize her soil, her egg, and bring forth a harvest in return, which is a child. And it's the same way with words. When you continuously let words, people's words, be spoken into your spirit, and their spirit is not right, they got some mess going on with them. That mess begins to be sown into the soil of your heart. And what happens is you start taking on some of the ways and characteristics of that person. Just like if you're around a person that they gossips all the time, and you don't close your ears off to that, or you don't shut down that conversation, like, hey, you know, all right, you know, okay, they did this and that. Okay, let's move on. You know, if you don't do that, what's going to end up happening is, and you're not even going to realize it, you're going to find yourself gossiping. You're going to find yourself talking about somebody. You're going to find yourself putting somebody's life, mess, trash out there in the public. And you think, you know, how did I get this way? And sometimes the Holy Spirit will show you. It's because it's that person that you're hanging around. It's that person that you spend a lot of time with. It's that person that you fellowship with, that you be on the phone with, that you be dialoguing with on Facebook and all those things. You know, this is how it got here, because this person is a liar. This person is a gossiper. This person is a backbiter. This person likes to sow discord and stir up foolishness. This person likes to start arguments and fights and then leave the environment, you know, and be off on a far distance looking and laughing because they just stirred up the mess and then they got out of Dodge. Yeah, this is where you got it from. And so you might say, okay, well, what does this got to do with faithfulness? People, this is a foundation that's being laid. It's all building up to this, because when you begin to understand how the enemy does this, how he uses people, how he uses situations, how he uses environment to get us off focus, eventually what it's going to do is going to get to the area where he wants it at. He is going to eventually get to us beginning to question God, whether God is real, whether if the Bible is reliable, whether if it's even so, is it not corrupted? Because, you know, with the 66 books, you still got other books that was taken out during the Council of Nicaea and the Council of Trent, you know, and by, you know, the councils that were put together by Constantine and, you know, the Church of Rome and all these things, you know, you have these people, you know, that's going to start sowing this mess into your mind, you know, and say, well, how can it be trusted? Because the white man, you know, whitewashed the Bible, you know, everybody in the Bible is white and when it's not. And this thing, because eventually this is going to get down to questioning God, because when you look at the whole thing that he was trying to get Eve to do was, let's look at this again. The scripture says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you should not eat of every tree of the garden? That is not an innocent question or presentation. What he's trying to do is stir a doubt, trying to start her to get to begin to question, is God holding something back from us? Is God holding something back from us? Is God not telling us the full truth? Okay, why is it that he don't want us to partake in the fruit of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Why is it that he don't want us to eat from this tree? That's where it's going to get down to, that he wants us to begin to doubt and question the motive, the doings, and ultimately the character of God. Because once we start questioning the character of God, we are in trouble, because now the enemy knows that he can start leading us off into a delusion, because now we didn't question the character of God, and if we're questioning the character of God, how can I trust God's words? So this is Impact Now Radio, and look for the next show on this week. On next week, and I want to say good day. And with any calls, this is Charles Thomas. Good day.